Just high and low, and I still couldn't find nobody greater, nobody greater. Nobody. am low, and I still can find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Hey. 'cause he won't give up on you, 'cause he's able. All the sons of the righteous one, the holy one, the Father and the King. He's the Prince of Peace, reigns in royalty. Many treasures now belong to us. We're the children of a king. You may not feel like it, and I may not look like it, but I am right now the son of moving power and song of victory. Our Father is the Lord of all. All the sons of the righteous one, the holy one, the Father and the King. He's the Prince of Peace, ranks in royalty. Many treasures now belong to us. We're the children of a king. You may not feel like it, and I may not look like it, but I am right now a son. So move in power and talk of victory. Our Father is the Lord of all.
Amen. Amen. While I'm up here, I'm just going to introduce our speaker. And then right after that, I want to ask the choir to come back for one more selection before we receive the word of God. And it is my esteemed privilege to introduce this young man. Amen. Whom I love very much. He is truly my brother. He is truly my brother. I've known him since he was 9 years old. I was away at college. Amen. We were at Norton Avenue. We got a new pastor, and I was away at college, and I came home. He was sitting in my spot on the drums. Amen. And he was doing a wonderful job. Amen. He's just a humble young man. Amen. And he's blessed with so many gifts and talent, but I think the greatest pleasure I get, amen, out of our fellowship is our discussions in the Word of God. He is truly grounded in the Word of God. Amen. And I'm so proud of just how the Lord's continued to use him. Amen. And to bless Norton Avenue. Amen. Through his ministry. Amen. I thank God for his wife. Amen. Ella and their children, Tenor and Cannon. Amen. Who are like my nephews. Amen. They all call me Uncle Marlon. And we just thank God for them. And I thank God for his ministry. And I just ask that you sit, amen, attentively, amen, and receive the word of God as the Lord has given it. Amen. And I know that you will be blessed by it. Amen. So after the young adults come with one more selection, amen, we will hear none other than the minister Jamal Evans from the Norton Avenue First Baptist Church. Hear ye him. Amen. And the Lord will bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is so good. He came down here and wrapped himself in flesh just to show us how to be better. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for the youth. They were singing out of their souls. Thank you, Lord. I thank Community Baptist, man. This is family. As Minister Marlon Williams stated, man, I've been here since I was about 9 years old. And I'm blessed to be 37 years old now. And I just remember looking up to your pastor, Reverend Randy, right? And looking up to Minister Marlon Williams and just loving the fellowship that we have with one another. And we count it not robbery that your pastor has given us an opportunity to stand before his congregation to preach the pure and unadulterated word of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't take that lightly because every pastor doesn't invite you into their pulpits. Amen. So we thank you, Pastor Wright. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All the ministers in their places, Minister Q, Minister Williams, all the deacons, everyone that's here underneath the sound of my voice, I greet you in the master's name of Jesus Christ. Amen. My wife and my children are here. Most of you have watched me grow up, so I feel at home. I feel at home. I feel like this is a safe space. Amen. Amen. But there is a word from the Lord. We are not going to be before you long. We aren't going to try to get too deep. We're just going to give you what the Lord has given me, and we're going to sit down. Amen. We're going to be coming out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And this is Community Baptist, so I know you guys are in your word. You got your word with you. Amen. And the word reads, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Someone say special people. Amen. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. Thus ending the reading of the word of God. If there was a title, it would be simply put, Chosen by God. Chosen by God. Amen, amen. I know that I was looking at the beautiful flyer that you guys had for the revival, and it says the power of belonging. And we're going to talk about who we all belong to tonight. Amen. Amen. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord God, just saying thank you. Thank you for an opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk, Lord God. We have studied, Lord God. We have prepared. We have supped with you for a little while, Lord God. And now we need your power and conviction in order to preach this word, Lord God. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you remove the man that stands before your people, Lord God. remove the fleshly sinful man that stand before the people, Lord God, and fill him up with you, Lord God, so that anything that is said tonight is pleasing unto thy sight, Lord God. Anything that is said from my mouth is not my thoughts or not my will, but it is your thoughts, Lord God. And it is what you want the people to hear, Lord God. So remove my tongue, Lord God, and take control of it, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus. All of these things we humbly ask and pray in your precious son, Jesus' name. We collectively say amen. 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 So I'm still pretty young, as Pastor Wright just said. He said, I'm a young man. I'm still pretty young, and I remember wanting to fit in with the in crowd. I remember wanting to be around what I thought were the cool kids. I remember making fun of or clowning kids that I didn't think were cool. Maybe bending the truth a little bit of what I had or what I did, and acting one way but living another way when I was younger, being jealous of others' talents and possessions. I remember all of these things, and deep down inside, it didn't feel good. For the moment when the cool kids would acknowledge me or praise me, it felt good in that moment. But as soon as the moment passed, the feeling went right along with it, because I knew it wasn't for I knew it was for all the wrong reasons. And so some of the youth here tonight, I hope I can speak to you if you're dealing with some of these things, but some of you might be feeling the same way. Some of the kids that you know, you might hold them in high esteem, but deep down inside, they might feel the same way that you do. It can become exhausting trying to keep up with the world's latest trends. And it can become exhausting constantly searching for likes or for people to show you love on your Instagram or your TikTok posts. It can become exhausting to continue to push the envelope to gain the adoration of your peers. And so Peter in our text is telling us in the first verse of chapter 2, he says, lay aside all malice. He's basically saying, get rid of all evil. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I'm not evil. You know, I go to church. I believe in God. I'm not evil. I don't do evil things. But Peter made it very clear what type of evil he wanted us to get rid of. And Peter says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Amen. And in today's terms, if I could use the vernacular of today, it would be Peter saying, stop hating. Stop lying. Stop talking about each other. Stop frauding. Keep it 100. Keep it real. Watch your mouth. And this is a message that is very important, because back in this time, the Jews and the Gentiles didn't really get along with each other. They didn't bang with each other too much, and they didn't get along. So see, Peter is giving us a challenge in this text. And the challenge comes after Peter reminded us of what we did when we accepted Jesus into our hearts. See, in order to really break down the scripture of where we are in this chapter, we have to go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we have to look at verses 22 through 25. And I'm going to read it for you. And it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. So right here, we're seeing that Peter ended the first chapter saying, you have purified your soul with a sincere love of your brothers and your sisters. Peter then goes on to say, love one another with a pure heart. And then Peter goes on to say, you are born again and you are incorruptible through the word of God. And you now know this because these very principles were preached to you. So Peter is talking to Christians. He's not talking to people that don't know the word. He's not talking to people that don't understand the word or didn't accept Christ as their savior. He's talking to us. Hallelujah. And so this leads us to our text tonight in chapter 2, where Peter challenges the people to live in that truth, to live in that faith by refusing evil behavior. Who is Peter talking to? We just talked about it. He's talking to us. So Peter is talking to believers. Peter is talking to Christians. I'm sure members of Community Baptist don't talk about one another, Pastor. I'm sure they don't do that.
I'm sure they don't do that. I'm sure no one here talks about their brothers and sisters in Christ, but I've seen some church folk, I've seen some Christians and how we can treat one another. I'm sure sister so-and-so ain't jealous of the way you sing. I'm sure you're not mad at Deacon so-and-so when he gets up and he might be a little long-winded. You might say some things after service. I'm sure that doesn't happen here. But I've seen it happen. Amen. So Peter made a point to tell the body of believers to stop lying, hating on one another, and to thirst for the word of God. Thirst for the word of God. See, the Jews were the chosen people, and so the Gentiles were not. And so they looked down on them, kind of like how the kids today in the in crowd look down on the kids that don't have the cool sneakers or the latest trendy clothes. See, once Jesus came to save all of the world, his grace and his mercy, his love was now available to everybody, not just a specific group of people. But see, sometimes we run into people that think they are better than others. Sometimes in life we run into people who believe they are entitled and others don't deserve grace. Others don't deserve love. Others don't deserve mercy. Others don't deserve to be saved. And this message that Peter is giving is a dose of reality. This message is a gut check to remind us that none of us are better than the next person. And we are all God's children and we should all treat each other with the love of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But we live in a world now where everybody wants to be better or be validated. We live in a world today where people talk badly about others to make themselves look better. So how do we get to a place where we stop seeking validation from other people? How do we get to a place where we stop lying? How do we get to a place where we stop being jealous or having jealous thoughts of our brothers and sisters? We find that place in the Word of God. See, Peter says in verse 2, like newborn babies, we must crave pure spiritual milk so that we may grow into a full experience of salvation. That's what this is all about, right? So now you have to ask yourself, you don't have to tell me, but you have to ask yourself, do you desire the word? Do you crave the word of God? See, Peter is saying you should want the word the way the newborn baby cry for their mother's milk. Have you ever needed something so badly that you felt like you was going to die? Have you ever needed something so badly you felt like if you didn't get it, it was going to ruin your day? See, this is the type of desire that we should have for the Word of God. It's an instinct embedded in a baby's DNA to want milk. They will cry until they receive it. As believers in Christ, it should be instinctive to desire the word of God. You should cry out for the word. If you go a whole day without getting the word, you should feel like you have starved yourself because the word of God is essential for your growth. Hallelujah. You ever see a person hangry? Hungry and angry. Hangry, you ever see that? When they hungry, they don't act like themselves. I see you, brother. I get a little upset when I don't eat as well. And you ever see that Snickers commercial where it says, hungry? Why wait? Grab a Snickers, right? So. Well, that's how we look as Christians when we don't get God's word. We begin to show hangry behaviors. We begin to look spiritually dehydrated. We begin to look spiritually malnourished. See, Jesus said he is the living water and whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to look thirsty all the time. I want to be filled up with the word of God. Hallelujah. Psalms 42:1 says, as the deer pants for the water, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We should be thirsting for the word of God. And if you're not thirsting for the word of God, you are a spiritually dehydrated Christian. When you are thirsty for the word of God, you won't stop until you get the word in your system. You seek the Lord with your whole heart. And once you ingest the word, it begins to work on you. The word begins to remove those evil thoughts that Peter was talking about. Because once you experience Jesus, your life changes. Your life changes once you have experienced our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not going to hold you long. The text goes on to say, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones. We are living stones and are being built up a spiritual house. He's using these living stones to build up God's house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Somebody say cornerstone.
Cornerstone.
Elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So what he's basically saying is people that don't accept Jesus, that same stone that is meant to lift them up is now going to be a stumbling block for them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through life, stumbling in my spiritual walk, stumbling in my loves, stumbling in my convictions, stumbling because I just don't want to accept what we all know is real. And that's Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. See, Jesus was rejected. I don't know how any of you young people think that you won't be rejected. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, okay, so Peter now compares us to living stones used by God to build up his spiritual house. House not made by hands, but a house made by belief and faith and living sacrifice. And the only way we have access to being a part of the royal priesthood, the only way we can be connected to that is if we accept the chief cornerstone. And so some of you youth might say, well, what is a cornerstone? I know my seasoned saints know what a cornerstone is, but this is for the youth. A cornerstone is the first stone set in the construction of a foundation. All other stones, like you and I, will be set in reference to this stone. Okay. A chief cornerstone is placed above two walls to maintain them together, which keeps the building from falling apart. So if you have the chief cornerstone holding two walls together, it looks like it's connected, and as long as that chief cornerstone is there and lifted up, the foundation will not fall. Amen. So we won't stop teaching, and we won't preach in a minute, but I just want you to understand that. See, since Jesus is the chief cornerstone, he is the foundation. Jesus is the connector. Jesus brings us all together. All who believe are a part of the royal priesthood. All of us who believe are chosen. Jesus is the cornerstone that can bring a Jew and a Gentile together. Jesus is his holy word removes the evil that would separate us. We live in a world that wants to separate us. We live in a world that wants to divide us. We live in a world that of the haves and the have-nots. We live in a world where color of our skin is a barrier. Jesus came in this world of division and decided to bring us together. See, what two walls did the chief cornerstone bring together? It is the Jew and the Gentile. Bringing them together made them a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We are his own special people. So, young people, if you didn't know, tonight I want you to leave with this. You are a chosen generation. You are a priesthood. You are connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as long as you accept them into your heart. See, you don't have to go and try to be something that the world is telling you to be. You don't have to go and do things to be a part of the cool crowd. You don't have to do things just so you can feel a part of something because you're already a part of the greatest thing in this earth. You're already a part of the greatest thing in your spiritual being, and that's being a part of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if I'm trying to do anything for anybody, it's going to be for the Lord, not for anybody at my school, not for anybody on the school bus, not for anybody at the camp, not for anybody at the basketball courts. It's going to be for our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The word says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is so good, he allowed himself to be captured. Amen. The Lord is so good that he allowed himself to be wrongly convicted. Amen. The Lord is so good, he allowed himself to be whipped all night long. See, he did it for you and he did it for me. But the thing is he did it so that you can have an identity. We don't want to be able to go through life trying to figure out who we are. We don't want to go through life trying to figure out what does God have for me? What is these people want for me? None of that matters. Only anything that matters is that you're connected to the source that gives you grace and gives you mercy. The only thing that really matters is that you're connected to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the fact of the matter is once you realize that, once you get that into your system, once you taste how the Lord loves you, once you taste what the Lord has done for you, you're not going to care what other people and your peers try to say they can do for you because you already have the chief cornerstone connecting you to something greater than anything else that this earth will ever know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so the word goes on to say that you now have access to mercy that you didn't have access to before. You now have mercy that you didn't have access to before. You have now obtained something that you weren't going to obtain on your own. And see, now I just want you to understand that it gets hard out here when you are going through life without Jesus. It gets hard out here when you go through life thinking you know better than the spiritual leaders of your church. It gets hard out here when you're trying to live your life according to principles of people in your peers that have no idea what is waiting for them on the other side. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came down here and he allowed them to put a crown of thorns on their head. He allowed them to put a cross on his back. He allowed them to do that so that he could save you. He took a cross and walked up a hill so he could save you. He took a cross and once he got there, he allowed them to put nails in his hands so he can save you. He did that. He took spikes in his feet so that he could save you. If that's not mercy, I don't know what is. His mercy is better than any other mercy you could ever think of. You know, better than any other mercy you could ever dream of. The Lord has done all of this to give you access to his love. All of this to give you access to his mercy. All of this to give you access to be a part of a royal priesthood. And I'm up here trying to make sure I convey to you that you are loved, that you are cared for, that they do want what's best for you. God wants what's best for you. I'm up here trying to convey to you that you don't have to live your life for no one else but the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And your parents and your pastor and your ministers and your deacons, they are trying to lead you into that direction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So at the end of the day, you belong to a family that will be used to change lives. At the end of the day, you're a part of a family that's going to use you to change souls and lives forever. You are a part of a royal priesthood, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you have been chosen by God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that this word was edifying to you. I pray that the young ones, I pray that you receive this word. And if you don't truly understand exactly what the royal priesthood is, I'm pretty sure that we can sit down and have a conversation about that, because we want you to understand so that you don't go through life trying to live according to someone's standards that does not love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this word finds you well. Grace and peace.
God for the word, a chosen generation. How many know you belong to Jesus Christ? Amen. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation. We're called to show praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As we stand to our feet, and if there's somebody here, even under the sound of my voice, and I'm going to ask Jamal, don't go too far. He's going to come back and he's going to pray. And he's going to close us out. But I'm telling y'all, when we talk about the power of belonging, the devil, the enemy wants to put in our minds as young people. He wants to put insecurity in our minds as old people. But there's nothing like being validated to know you're chosen by God. He foreordained even before the foundation of this world that you should be a son. And just like when he talked about when Christ went to that cross to die for you, and he died in our place. That's the greatest love. The greatest love of all. What manner of love is this? That you should be called a son. It doeth not yet appear what you're going to be. But you know, when he cracks that sky, you're going to be like him. And if there's somebody under the sound of my voice, and you do not know Jesus Christ, and you want to come and give your life to him, eternity weighs in the balance, because there is an eternal hell and there's eternity with the Father. You can come right now and give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Is there anybody else? Is there another? Is there another? Or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ? Thank God. Amen. Minister Jamal, thank you for the word. Y'all know what? We don't need a bunch of tricks and backflips and all this stuff we got to do to try to attract our young people. He stood and he talked about the love of Jesus Christ. He loves you. We don't have to impress everybody else. Just give your life to Jesus Christ. Is there another or somebody that would like to rededicate? You can also come at this time as we get a song. Amen. In that order.
Nothing in this world will make me.
Anybody else wants to come for prayer?
No matter what.
Just step forward if you want to come for prayer. And you, this is a youth prayer. You can also come for prayer. Is there one? Just come on forward. Anybody come for prayer? Get in the middle.
Because forever.